We all know that right off the top that sin is a liar. Say that with me. Sin is a liar. So we know that sin is a liar, and we know that sin will cause us all types of problems. We know that sin divides and it destroys. We've seen that so many times before. So why do so many folks continue in sin? We know that not only is sin a liar, but sin is a deceiver as well, isn't it? Sin is also a terrible, terrible disease of the soul. It contaminates the soul and it enslaves the soul to that place it is prepared for unprepared people, the place it is prepared for those who just kept putting Jesus Christ off. Sin is a deceiver. It's a disease of the soul. It will contaminate us and it will send us to the place called hell. Sin also confuses us, doesn't it? Sometimes we often wonder, I don't know if that's right or if this is wrong, and can I do this, can I not do that? And I've heard not too long ago, it just seems like the church is full of can't do, can't do, can't do. But I beg to differ with you. I believe the Scripture shows us things that we can do, that we can enjoy life, that we can enjoy relationships, that we can have that spiritual liberty, that spiritual freedom that we all have. I believe that we can have hope beyond the grave. I believe that in a society that we live in like we do, I believe that we can still move forward with a smile on our face. What about y'all? Do y'all believe that? All right. So we understand that sin's nasty. We know that sin is out there. But brothers and sisters, you do not have to engage in that sin. There are so many people that talk about how sin is just destroying everything. Relationships today that are no longer in, their people are no longer speaking to each other. There's brothers and sisters not even communicating. There's fathers and sons not speaking to one another. There are people, there are parents and grandparents. There's so much division. You know why? Because sin took its toll. There are congregations of the Lord's churches today totally divided because sin slowly crept in. Sin is so wrong. Don't let it have its way with you. We know that sin is a product of Satan. Do you agree with that? We know that Satan is the father of sin, and it should never, darling, it should never be tasted by the Christian, should it? We've got to be so, so careful. If we know that sin is bad, let's be sure that we're not toying and playing with sin. I've said this before, and I'll say it again today. If you know that every single time you ever deal with fire, you get burned, stop dealing with fire. Isn't that about right? We know that if you know, these individuals that put on these snake shows, that, you know, they pick up these snakes, Amy, and they wrap around their arm, and then they cry because they got bit. I don't want to hear you cry because you got bit. You are a nutcase. You was holding a snake, it bit you. If that happens every time, don't bother the snakes. Snakes have been a problem all the way back from the very beginning of time. Wasn't Satan, didn't he come in the form of a serpent? All four of you agree with that? Didn't he come in as in the form of a serpent? All right, we know that he did. So snakes have been a problem for many, many years. We also know that I've heard people say, I love beef stew. I don't. But I've heard other people say they love beef stew. But every time I eat beef stew, I get real sick. Well, don't be a dummy. If it makes you sick every time, stop eating it. If you go to the Crystal restaurant, oh, those little Crystal squares, aren't they sure delicious? Brother Jerry, they just the best little things in the world. Of course, you know, I can't leave the house for a couple of days after that. Stop eating Crystal. Now, darling, that don't mean stop bringing them because I do like them on Sunday nights. But when we see these things, I know that's being a little bit silly, but the reality is we know when things hurt us, we leave it alone. Isn't that about right? We know that sin is not only hurting us, it is killing us, and it is going to send a lot of individuals to that horrible, horrible place. Folks, listen to me. We all sin and we all fall short of the glory of God. I'm also afraid that there's too many people in the church today that think they don't sin. You think that can happen? There's a lot of people that look down upon other people instead of looking at other people. That, brothers and sisters, we got to be careful with. We cannot condone sin. We cannot condone the fruits of unrighteousness. But let me be reminded myself, and you be reminded, we are not anyone's judge. Does that make sense? Say it like you mean it. All right? So we're not anyone's judge, but we are indeed our brother's keeper. So we have a responsibility to continue to pray. If someone is in a situation that you know and you love them and you hate that they're in a situation and they're compromising, If you don't know what to say to them, say it about them to God. Amen. God, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say to them. I want to pray for them. I want to encourage him. I want to encourage her. Are you getting the picture? Because sin has got a hold of this individual. But if we ever begin, Amy, to start talking down to somebody, you're going to lose them. Does that make sense? In my marriage with Paula, when we have our struggles, we have our difficulties, if I begin and try to talk down to Paula, it's not going to work. But if I talk to Paula, it will work. Does that make sense? And that's the way it is, brothers and sisters. We know that sin destroys. Sin is creating confusion, division. It's trying to divide the Lord's church. It's dividing marriages. It's dividing relationships. Don't let sin have its way in your life. Romans 3:23, for all have and fallen of the glory of. Now let's go to Romans 6:23, where the Bible says, this is your pay package, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in who? Very good. And what does the word Lord mean? Master. Very, very good. Head over to the book of Psalm chapter 119. Let's look at verses 1 through 8. I am convinced, brothers and sisters, and I believe that you will be too if you believe the Bible. I am convinced, according to our love for the Lord and His love for us, that it should be your and my chief desire to refrain from sinning. Does that make sense? Do we sin? Do we fall short? But shouldn't it be our spiritual goal to try to live tomorrow a little bit closer than what I did yesterday and what I'm doing today? Tomorrow there needs to be growth in my relationship with God. That doesn't mean that there's a quick fix. Let me be very clear when I convey this message to you. Just because one joins the church and the Lord adds you to the church doesn't mean that you push the okay, I'm righteous button and everything is fine. Coming to the Lord's house, you know, a million times doesn't make you a Christian, just like going to McDonald's doesn't make you a Big Mac. Amen? You're not a Big Mac because you went to McDonald's. You're not a Christian because you walk in the building. You are a Christian because you are putting on the breastplate of righteousness. You are being washed in the blood of Jesus Christ in baptism. You are making that confession in the presence of a witness or witnesses. You're listening to the Word of God, and it is motivating you, and it is causing you to change your life. And that change means I'm going to do what Luke 9:23 says. I'm going to take up my cross. How often? How often? And then what am I going to do when I take up my cross? I'm going to follow who? I'm going to follow Him. I'm going to follow after the righteousness of God. Don't let sin have its way with you. Why, and sadly, are there so many people continuing in sin? Psalm 119, 1 through 8. Are y'all ready to be engaged? All right, the Bible says blessed, and what's another word for blessed? Starts with an H. Thank you. The one person has said that one. All right, so happy is synonymous with that. Isn't that right? Thank you, Jerry. Jerry's like, oh, this guy would preach for another hour, so please, Lord. That's the hardest prayer I've ever heard him say. Don't let him do it. So we can say happy, but we're going to use the word blessed because that's what's written. Let's go. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of who? Blessed are those who keep, who seek. Watch this. Who seek Him with their... They do. Watch this. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. You have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Then I would not be what? When I look into all of your commandments, I will praise you with the uprightness of heart when I learn your, talking about God's, righteous what? I, the psalmist says, will keep your statutes. Oh, do not forsake me. And he used the word utterly. Don't forsake me. I know what sin is. I know what sin is doing. I know what sin will do. It will enslave one to hell, won't it? But what we can remember now is, Lord, I'm going to walk in your precepts. You are the light unto my path. You are the one that I want to follow. We say that. Perhaps we mean that. And then we get out through the double doors, and man, everything seems to change, doesn't it? We're due good right here at 613 James Avenue. But what about when we're out there? I believe it motivates you and me to just absorb God's Word, to make sure that we are digesting the Word of God so that we can continue every day to live as close to God as we can. Don't forget what the Scripture says in 1 John 2:1-2. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not what? If anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father. Who is that advocate? The righteous, verse 2. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not ours only, but also for the whole wide world. Do you like that? That means that the gospel is for who? Everybody. It is not limited, is it? It is unlimited. So listen to me. It should be your goal and it should be my goal not to sin. Don't intentionally sin. Be sure that we remember Romans chapter 6, down in verse 1 and 2. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? This is a question that was being asked. Look at the next two words. Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Folks, listen to me. Living for Jesus Christ, living as sinless as possible, should be your and my spiritual goal. I think about what the Bible tells us over in 1 John 3. Would y'all mind going there? 1 John 3, we're going to look at 8 and 10, or 8 through 10. Let me be very clear as I convey this next statement to you. We all sin. You know that. We all fall short. You know that. I do too. We all miss the mark. However, Christians should not practice sin. There's a difference, believe it or not, when a person sins and a person practices sin. Does that make difference? Are you following me? We're going to sin. We're going to fall short. We're going to say something we shouldn't say. We're going to think something we shouldn't think. We're going to view something we shouldn't view. But when it becomes intentional, when we know better and we continue in that sin, that, brothers and sisters, is when we're going to get in a whole lot of trouble. 1 John 3, 8 through 10. All found? He who sins is of who? Did I say it or did the Bible say it? All right, so don't walk out here with an attitude. He who sins is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the very beginning. For this purpose, the Son of Man was, talking about the Son of God, was manifested, that means made known, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And so if you are with the devil, you're on the devil's side, the devil's going to be, Bible just said it, destroyed. Say it with me. The Bible's going to be destroyed, all right, and his works. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. Now, when we look at that particular passage of Scripture, that gives us some comfort, doesn't it? It gives us some strength. Yes, I'm going to sin. I'm going to fall short. Look at 10. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil, they're made known, aren't they? Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. So God sees this. Other people see this by your fruits, don't they? So listen to me. Make sure that we are not engaging ourselves intentionally in sin. Sin will enslave your soul to hell. Amen. I'm begging all of us to strive today to do better than we did yesterday. I messed up some stuff yesterday. I messed up some stuff last Thursday. I messed up some stuff a year, 2 months, 3 days, 2 hours, and 10 minutes ago. But today I'm going to try to do a lot better than that. Does that make sense? We've got to strive to do better every single day. We all should, as Christians, be practicing righteousness and not practicing sin. We should be receiving our instruction in righteousness, living from and about God's Word. I hope we remember 1 John chapter 3, down in verse 4. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is what? Lawlessness. All right, let me give you a couple, two or three short points. I'll let you get out of here. Unless you don't answer some questions, then I'll drag it out. Look at my sister. She back there going, no, we're listening. Think it. Wait a minute. What are you telling the preacher? The first point we want to consider today, as we talk about why do so many folks just keep on sinning, I'm convinced that many folks keep sinning because, seriously speaking, because they don't fully understand hell's punishment. Does that make sense? You know why they don't really fully understand hell's punishment? It's because too many preachers won't preach on hell anymore. When is the last time you heard a sermon on hell? Now, I know I've preached them about at least once a year. We talk about it. But outside of James Avenue, do you hear many sermons about hell? Even on these television evangelists, the ones you think you can trust, do you hear sermons about hell? I don't. So it's sad because of too many preachers today. Let me just beat us all up. Too many of us today want to make sure that when the preacher looks out in the congregation, he sees smiles. I want to see tears. When I got a preacher preaching to me, I want to feel it. I want to know that he's telling the truth about things. Amen? I need that conviction. I need that correction. I need that instruction in righteousness that Paul told Timothy about. That, you know, to preach the word, be ready in season, out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. I like the fact that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, for instruction, for correction, for instructions in righteousness. Do you understand what I'm saying? Are y'all there or not? All right, so we understand that these instructions, they better be convicting us. If you can sit and listen, it doesn't matter who the preacher is. It matters what that preacher's preaching and teaching, amen? But if you can sit and listen to the Word of God and not be moved by it, not listen to the preacher, listen to the Word of God and not be moved by it, I'm begging you at the end of the service to get up here. Let us pray for you because there's a serious problem in your walk with Christ, amen, or your lack of a walk with Christ. Don't continue in that sin. Far too many people, far too many preachers and teachers were just not preaching on hell's punishment. I feel very confident saying that if mankind today truly knew and believed in what hell truly has to offer, I believe there would be a rush to righteous living. Hell is horrible. The Bible reveals that. Hell is agony. Hell is eternal. I can't help but to think about a few scriptures that speaks very, very clearly about hell and the inhabitants that will be there. I can't overlook the fact that there's going to be eternal consequences for those who just kept putting Jesus off, that kept putting God and His righteousness off. Let's head back over, if you don't mind. Let's head over to 2 Thessalonians. We'll look at 8 and 9. Is that all right? 2 Thessalonians 1, 8 and 9. And let's take a look and see what's going on here. I believe it's extremely important to look at this passage of Scripture because the Lord Himself makes this very clear to us. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, 8 and 9. I want to show you according to the Scripture that hell is not fictional. I want to show you according to Scripture that hell is real and there's going to be inhabitants. There's going to be people that reside there for eternity. Let me say this again. You already know about it. You can't spend eternity in heaven or hell, can you? You can't. It's impossible because you can't spend eternity. Eternity is forever and ever. Amen. You will be in heaven for eternity or you'll be in hell for eternity. Is that about right? So it's up to you to choose this day who you're going to serve. I'm going to serve God and His righteousness or I'm going to serve the devil and his righteousness. You'll make a choice before you leave the building today on whom you're going to serve. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. All five of you appreciate that. 2 Thessalonians 1, 8, 9. As we talk about hell and it being real, I want you to say these first three words with me in verse 8. Let's go. In flaming fire. Do you believe the Bible? If you believe the Bible, confirm it with an amen. All right, so the Bible says, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God, on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These, the Bible says, shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His what? And from the glory of His power. So imagine, says, being separated from God, being so far separated where you're cast into outer darkness that you, Brother Johnson, you can't even pray to God anymore because there's been a separation, hasn't it? We are pulled away from God and we're sent to this place called hell because we yielded to sin. We played with sin. We were told over and over and over from the Bible, stop playing with sin. Get things right. There is a day coming. There's a judgment day coming. Get with it. Hang on to Jesus. Hold those nail-scarred hands. Quit toying with sin. Quit making life about you. This life does not revolve around you. Do you get that? We should revolve around the commandments of Jesus Christ. We should be doing what God is calling us to do. Quit making this about you and quit making it about me. Let's make it about our awesome God. Amen? That's what we should be focused on. If we're sinning and we're falling short and we continue in that sin, you are making a mockery out of the death of Jesus Christ and you are slapping my God in the face and I won't stand for it and neither will you. Confirm it with an amen. All right. So, in flaming fire. Go with me to Matthew 25, verse 41. The Bible says, and He will say to those on the left hand, depart from me, ye what? Into the everlasting, say it, fire. Thank you, Heather. Prepared for the devil and who else? Are you hell's angels today? Are you the devil's angel today? Don't act like you're tough and you ride this big motorcycle with the black leather jacket that says Hell's Angel. Go ahead with your Hell's Angel. The reality is you better be God's angel. Amen? You better be one that loves and concentrates and thinks about the righteousness of God. Quit trying to impress mankind. Put on Christ Jesus. Put Christ on in your life. Live for Him every single day. And remember this, it is not a button you push when you become a righteous Christian and you start. It is a process. It is a daily process, a weekly, a yearly. I'm still struggling with some things that I struggle with even from the day that I became a Christian. I said it before, I'll say it again. I'm not where I need to be, but thank God I'm not where I used to be. Amen? And that's what we need to be looking at. Striving every day to do just a little bit better. Please know that hell is a conscious torment. You're going to know that you're in hell. You're not going to be put to sleep like you do when you get a root canal, or you're not going to receive something that will deaden the effect. You're going to be very conscious of what's going on. You will feel every drop of it. Matter of fact, Matthew 13:50 shows us that hell is a furnace of fire where there's going to be weeping and gnashing of. Mark chapter 9 down in verse 48 describes hell as a place where the worm does not die and the fire, the Bible says, is not what? Quenched. Very good. And then over in Revelation chapter 14 down around verse 10 shows that that he will be tormented with fire and brimstone. So we know, guys and girls, that this is the real deal. Listen, just being separated from God, just not being able to talk with God in prayer, not being able to praise Him in prayer and love Him and offer thanksgiving, that would be severe punishment for me. Just not even be able to communicate with Almighty God, but then add to it the horrors of hell, the agony of hell, the horrible things that take place with those individuals. We need to strive every day to do the best we can. Y'all with me on that one? Let's head over to Galatians chapter 5. Let me show you something. Is Galatians 5 in the Old or New Testament? Okay. He's just mad because Paul is stealing stuff off of his porch. We'll talk about that later. We got to talk to Paula about theft. She told me to pull over the other day. We went by Jerry's house. Paula said, pull over. And I said, well, why? And she was so sincere. I mean, I didn't know what to do, but like, I can't. There's a truck behind me. And she's like, pull over. I said, what do you want me to do? She goes, isn't that Jerry Stevens' house? I said, yeah. She goes, go up there and get that glider off his porch and put in the back of our truck. I'm like, I'm probably not interested. Jerry will shoot you. You know, he'll do something crazy. Anyway, Galatians 5, 19 through 21. I shared this with you, this exact part right here on a Wednesday night. And we talked about not wanting to reside with people. Yeah, let me just get to it. Are there people in this world that you don't like being around? Don't look at me like that. Brother Johnson, that wasn't right. Was on these. You see them. I said, is there people you don't want to be around? And they went, That was cold. But there are, I'm just kidding. I'm only serious. Okay. But there's some people in our society, seriously, that we don't want to be around. You don't want to be around a certain group of people. None of us do if we're Christians. Not that we think we're better, but we are in a better spot than they are, aren't we? Because Christians are headed to heaven, and they're not. So we want to try to help them, encourage them by living a good life, et cetera, et cetera. But I certainly don't want to be sharing eternity with these people unless they can get to heaven. I don't want to be, because this is going to be forever and ever. Are y'all ready for this? Galatians 5, 19 through 21 gives a list. Now listen to me. Gives a list of the people. And I want you to notice this one particular word, Darlene. Heather, we got to watch this one. Y'all ready? Let's start. Now the works of the flesh, what are they? They're evident, which are, what's the first one? Then fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies. Now watch this. Envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in the past, that those who, give me the next word, go, practice such things will, capitalize this, say it as loud as you can, not enter the kingdom of God. Don't walk out here saying, well, God forgives me, He understands God. No, He doesn't. No, He does not. God will forgive you when you come to Him with a repentant heart. Amen. When you come to Him and you're no longer practicing sin, there's a difference. If we sin and fall short, which we're going to, that's one thing. But when I know it's wrong and I'm like, you know, I shouldn't be doing this, but it looks pretty enticing. I shouldn't do that, but it looks pretty enticing. And I know I shouldn't be doing this, but it looks enticing. And I walk into that sin, Tony, I'm in trouble on it. But if I'm in a situation, now there's no such thing as situation ethics, but if I'm in a situation and I find myself falling short and I missed a mark, is there forgiveness for that? Absolutely. But Dana, if I'm intentionally going out and sinning against God, looking at His Word, and His Word convicts me clearly, and the Holy Spirit convicts me clearly, and says, this is wrong, and I engage in it anyway, I better tell you about Hebrews 10:26. The Hebrew writer said in Hebrews 10:26, there no longer remains a sacrifice if you continue to sin willfully. Did y'all get that? If you continue to sin after knowing the way of righteousness, there no longer remains a sacrifice of that sin. So what is God saying? Clearly He said, you know right from wrong. I told you in the Word, and you did it anyway. Goodbye, yellow brick road. We're not talking about Elton John's version, are we? It's all over. Unless you come back to the Lord, repent of your sins, put Christ on in your life, do what He's calling you to do. Live for Him. Everybody all right so far? So why do some people keep on sinning? Because they don't really fully understand hell's punishment. And because preachers today aren't preaching on hell like they should. Amen? Why? Let's go to the second one. Let's go to the second point. Why do some folks just keep on sinning? Because some people haven't been taught the truth. Does that make sense? Sadly, people are not being taught the truth about the gospel. I am convinced that not knowing God's word is a common cause of a lot of sin today. I realize and do believe that if folks would read, if they would read for themselves and study for themselves God's holy word and witness just how much God truly, truly loves His people, I'm pretty certain that many, many more souls would come to Him in repentance. God loves you. God loves me. He didn't just say it like we say it to one another. Love you, man. See you, man. Love you, uh-huh. Yeah, okay, take care. God didn't do that. God put that into action, didn't He? John 3:16, go. For God so... For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Very good. In the book of Romans, chapter 5, verse 8, these are these passages that I said from the very beginning that I will share with you, trying every lesson. So the Bible tells us in Romans 5, 8, but God, what did He do? Very good. His own love toward us that while we were yet sinners, very good. Christ Jesus died for us. So we know that some people haven't been taught about how awesome God is and how awesome His Son is. God gave His Son, did He not? God gave us His Word. God gives us His promises. You know what? What I love about this, Brother Bobby, is when God promises, He don't break His promise, does He? We sometimes, mankind, we may break our promises, but we can stand on the promises of God. Don't ask Sis to help sing that song. She'll mess that up terribly, but that's okay. We love her the same. She just can't seem to get that one going, can you, Sid? All right, so standing on the promises of God, we can certainly do that. God gives us assurances, blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. He gives us support. He gives us guidance. God gives us encouragement. But He also gives us trials, doesn't He? Yes, He gives us trials. Sometimes Jesus will just let us walk into this storm. You know why? So that we can put our reliance, our dependence on Him, so that we can know that my God delivers, doesn't He? Say that with me. My God, He delivers. And that ought to get us excited. That ought to put chills down your arms that we've got a God so awesome. But sadly, so many individuals, they just haven't been taught about what Jesus uses and God uses to mold us into what He wants us to be. I like to think about what Jesus is doing over in John 14, 2. In my Father's house are many what? And what did Jesus say about that? He says, I'm going there to do what? Good job, Heather, to prepare a place for you. And He says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, what did He say? There you go. Receive it to myself that where I am, there you're going to be too. I better do it the right way. There you will be also. So I love that promise. So the reality is some people haven't been taught. They haven't been taught about how much God truly loves them and how much Jesus loves them and what Christ Jesus has given to each and every one of us. He gave us Himself. He gave us His Son. He gave us His Word. He gives us His promise. He gives us light in a dark and dying world. What else do you want? What else do you need from God? He has given us His all. And yet we just keep holding on. We know what we need to do to make things right. Yet we just continue to hold on. We continue to hold to the world, the things that will profit us nothing. What will a man gain if he gains the whole world? Nothing. He'll be all right in a fleshly sense, wouldn't he? But spiritually speaking, he's bankrupt. Spiritually bankrupt. I don't want to compromise my salvation. So I want to make sure that I understand the hell's reality. I want to make sure that I'm taught and that other people are taught about Jesus and the righteousness of God. Let me give you this third one in this lesson. We'll go home with you. Here's your third point. Some people just keep on sinning because it's intentional. I got some frowns then. Good. Some people do it. Some people just keep on doing it. They do it deliberately. They just think nothing about it. I've said this before. Let me share this with you again. At the funeral home where I work, it makes me sick to my stomach. When someone comes in and they walk in and say, "Hey, how was your weekend?" "Don't talk so loud, Jerry." I'm like, "Well, what are you talking about? What's wrong?" "I've got a hangover. I drunk a fifth. I drunk this. I drunk that. I got so out of it. My girlfriend to help me in the house, and I got toasted, and I got that." And they're bragging about the shape that they let their soul get into. This body that we have here is a temple of the Lord. Amen? Say that. This body is the temple of the Lord. So next time we decide we're going to just do things and abuse our body, you're abusing the Lord. This is His house. But it makes me sick, and it should make you sick when people brag about intentional sin. "I did this." Then there's other people that will come into the picture and say, "Yeah, I took my girlfriend out and we did this." I'm like, "Oh, that's a little bit TMI. Don't care about that other than the fact you're putting your soul in jeopardy." But people will brag about having sex out of marriage. They will brag about getting involved in an adulterous relationship. God does not tolerate that. Amen? But He will allow you to enjoy a solid relationship. He will allow you to enjoy your relationship with your spouse, your relationship with your children, your relationship with neighbors. He'll allow you to be happy and to set good examples. He will allow these things. But there are people in our world today that just brag and brag and brag about intentional sin. I don't get it. Do y'all get it? Thank goodness you said no. So let's go back and show you something in James chapter 1, if you don't mind. I got to share this with you, and I might let you go. James chapter 1, 12 through 16. According to the conduct of a lot of people in our world today, so many in the world, seriously speaking, are entertaining sin. We can't do that, can we? Bible, we can't approve sin. It doesn't matter who it is. If I come to you bragging about something I've done, it goes against the Word. Don't ag it on. Tell me, "Hey, Jerry, be careful with that." We've got to, and I am probably, I'll tell you, I am pretty sure I'm the most immature person in this building. But I'm recognizing and I'm knowing, hey, this isn't right. I got to correct this. Anybody else or not? James 1, 12 through 16. The Bible says, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love Him." I love this next one. "Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I'm tempted by God,' for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does He tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own," say that with me, "by his own desires and enticed." Go with me to 15. "Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, what does that bring forth?" It brings forth death. "Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren." James is making it clear. You want to play with sin? He uses these words just like this. Ready? It's a Woodbine word, Chase. Three words. Go ahead on. Okay? You want to go ahead on with that, but you're going to pay for it. Amen? All right. So, brothers and sisters, just be careful. Proverbs chapter 22, down in verse 3. "A prudent man foresees evil, and he hides himself, but the simple pass on, and what are they?" Bible says they're punished. We have folks in the world that fail to develop self-control. Well, I'm preaching to me there. They struggle with self-control, and now they're being a partaker of other people's sins. They join hands with those that think little or nothing about sin, those that minimize sin and its effect. I love what James 4:7 says. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and what will he do? He'll flee from you. Sadly, there's only a few people in our world today that's living as God has told us to live. You don't have to be one of them. But if you choose to do that, that's on you. It's not on me. As a minister of the gospel, my job is to tell you what the scripture says. Your job as an accountable human being is to receive it and live according to the Bible. Make your life conducive with the scripture. My job is done. I share with you the gospel of Jesus Christ today. Are we in agreement? I shared that with you. It's your choice. It's up to you now whether you want to take your relationship with him further. Today, if you're not a Christian, I'm begging you in the light of the scriptures to become one. Do not choose Satan over God. Here's how you become a Christian. You hear his word, I already gave it to you. Believe. Make a confession. I believe that Jesus Christ is God's son. You said it in front of either a witness or witnesses. You being willing and repent of your sins, that means Christ is first now. Amen? Anybody on this side? All right. Christ Jesus got to be first and foremost. And then upon that confession of faith, to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. Live for Jesus from that moment on. Yes, you're going to fall down. So am I. Yes, you're going to miss the mark. So am I. But now we have an advocate with the Father that we read about a while ago. We can be forgiven of those unintentional sins. Live a life unto death faithfully. And the Bible says, I will give you the crown of life. And always remember that we are indeed. Maybe today you've been through those steps. You've been baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. But you found yourself in a situation where you've walked away from Christ Jesus. You're not where you need to be. And you know that. Don't walk out of this building uncertain about your salvation and walk with Christ. If you need anything at all, we're here for you. Come now. Begin.